Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, that crisp, crisp sound of beer.
Yeah. Sound like the ocean breeze.
It does. I'm so tempted to start the podcast just with that crisp sound, that crisp cut of beer. Would you consent to that? The hard-earned thirst is a big cold beer, and the best cold beer lifts the lid on cricket's greatest weapon, the moustache. Any bloke with a hairy top lip will smash you for six every time. Look at Booney. Look at Reed. Look at Botham. Look at Margaret Thatcher.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. That's a new opener.
That's the new opener.
Okay. One of the two.
I reckon we start there. It's dropped kickoff time, everyone. Hello. I have Mr. Nathan Williamson by my side, who's politely reminding me that I'm not very good against him in fantasy. What a trash person that person is. Thank you, man, for reminding me that I'm 1-0 against you. I lost, so it was so close over the weekend, but then telling me I've not actually won a game against you since the competition started.
So for context, we got added to this random league through like Jack and one of his mates. I'm a defending champion. No need to brag, but yeah, every time I beat Nick, I just beat him. It's a gag of difference. As soon as he went to the Raw, it's just not being able to get a win.
It's funny. We were just looking back. I didn't even realize you could do matchup history, but I just like, I've got a winning record against pretty much everyone else except Nathan. So fuck you, Nathan. And then that lovely gentleman.
Raw trader.
Oh yeah, I know. I was waiting for you to come in swinging as well. And then the other gentleman joining us, he's cracked open a beer. It's the one and only senior vice president himself, Mr. Hartman. How's the beer?
It's good.
What did you get?
It's crisp.
It's crisp?
Don't want to say their name because they're not sponsoring this podcast.
They're not sponsoring this podcast? Is it a Japanese-themed beer? Is it a local brew?
It's local. Or very local.
Craft or commercial? Are you?
I guess there's no... I mean, craft doesn't... Really,
you know what I mean by craft?
It's independent, I believe, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, they always say independent, don't they? It's true.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it's independent.
If in the comments or on Twitter, if you can guess what beer Nick's drinking, Nick will send you a six-pack.
Hang on. Yeah. Okay. Well, hang on. If you can guess from this.
See, that's obvious. I now know what it is. I'm not going to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
I know it is now.
That is so fucking obvious to us. So obvious. Like, unbelievably obvious. And if any of our listeners do not get it, that's on you for being uneducated about alcohol and beer. We get that totally. It's true. So we're back for the first time in 2 weeks. I'm sorry, everyone. As mentioned, we already missed out. We've been busy. Shit's been happening. Nathan's been traveling. He's got a massive budget now, a massive travel budget courtesy of rugby.com.au. Nick Hartman, he's been drinking beer. I've been doing some traveling. Shit's been happening.
I haven't been doing any traveling because my foot's broken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your foot is broken. That's right. Yeah. We forgot about that. We mentioned this in the last podcast. It is in fact, still broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't break your foot. It really sucks. I don't know if you guys have done it. It really sucks.
I have really badly messed up my ankle in a rugby game against Chamois. I was playing for Drummond against Chamois, and I got screwed my ankle up so badly in the last game. I was out for about, I think, 8 or 9 rounds, like pretty much 3 quarters of the season. I didn't break my ankle, but the foot doctor I just rolled it really badly, and it was so bruised. I'll send you guys pictures later. Please of how bad my foot was.
Along with the other ones you promised me last week.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll drop them on the dropped kickoff on Twitter. See how badly my foot was bruised. That'll go down well. But anyway, speaking of icky things, let's move to our left field topic of the week. Do you see what I did there? That was a really smooth transition. And the left field topic question of the week is, courtesy of Nathan, what is your rugby ick? What is that one thing in rugby that makes you go, I want to know? And because you're the person who came up with this question, Mr. Williamson, you go first.
This is a sense of inspiration. I love the guys. Again, listen to their pod on the same network as us, the report card guys. It's great. Again, always sort of love their opinions on this sort of game and how they say it. But if anyone sort of refers to Australian rugby, Rugby Australia, as RAU, your opinion doesn't matter to me. That sounds better to put it this way. Let me put it this way. If you're sort of putting an opinion out that's and you can't sort of even call it correctly, like I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to sort of think you could be solving world peace, and it's something in my brain would just be like, you can't even sort of get to the stage of like the name change was 6 or 7 years ago. If you can't spell that one correct, it's off-putting for me. So
it's purely work orientated. It's a work orientated thing.
It's one something I've sort of had. It's definitely sort of dictated by my work environment. But again, I might have been a bit harsh in my language, but it's one of those ones. Yeah, if you sort of say that, I'm going to just be like, well, no, I don't sort of. Your opinion's probably going to be out there like your sort of references. So I mean, it's a comfort for people, and, you know, it's in the grand scheme of things, it's something sort of minor, but that's what icks are. But you choose the right language. Like, you wouldn't call it the ARL, you wouldn't call it the VFL. Like, you're going to sort of complain, you're going to have sort of constructive thoughts. Just call it the right thing.
So everyone who wants to complain to Nathan, send your complaints and refer to it as the ARU. Just let him just send it all to him. So because that's exactly what he wants to hear. That's right.
To my handle at NJ Hartland.
Mr. Hartman, do you have a rugby ick? And it's not, and it can't be the Western Sydney Chefs.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things that grind my gears, but, you know, like an ick is more of like a pet peeve kind of thing. So I can't say it's a pet peeve, but, you know, just to say something that annoys me but I can't say is maybe we'll talk about this later, but there's been reports that they're going to change rugby laws later this year. Marek Kinsella, I think, was talking about it on Twitter. And someone commented, like, so one of them is something about the mall, something it is about kickoffs and something else. And some of the South African underneath said, oh, great, just more laws to dead South Africa's strengths.
South African rugby Twitter strikes again.
I don't know. So maybe, like, weird toxic nationalism could be an ick. But I think probably
I can vibe that. That's a good one.
I actually had a really good one. Oh, actually, no. My ick is when I see. It's also happens in the NRL, but look, this is kind of aimed squarely at Justin Harrison. But it's having people who, like, he is Rupert president, but if he's in commentary, or let's say Joe Schmidt was in commentary, I fucking hate that. I know, like, they use Billy Slater to commentate NRL games, and Brad Fittler as well, who are the Queensland, New South Wales coaches. It gives me the ick. It is so incestuous.
Ah, you mean like the old boy school, the old boy kind of sort of environment?
Yeah, but it's like, if you're in that position of power, that you need, there is needs to be some independence. And you compromise the independence by being in cahoots with the main media arm. I just hate it.
Yeah, completely agree. And like the NRL, so Greg's out, for those that don't follow as well, like one of the playmakers just got dropped for South. And they had that sort of their talk show, NRL 360. And the person hosting it was, it's a guy by the name of Lachlan Ilias, was the sort of guy who got dropped. The guy hosting it was essentially his agent, Braith Nasta. And he's like, it's... it's baffling that that's allowed to happen. So I think it's a wider sport thing that, yeah, completely agree with, but people are trying to sort of stay impartial, but there's not.
Yeah, I hope it never comes to rugby union. I mean, Justin Harrison is already there. Like, but where's your integrity?
That's not bad. Like, Rupert President, like, he's obviously not going to shit can players, but, like, when it's not at a level of rugby league, but if it does, just watch out for it.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'll finish off with mine by turning my attention to stuff on the field, because I mean, I think you guys have nailed some pretty decent stuff off the field. There's very icky. Scrum resets at the 81st or 82nd minute mark, where the score is like, you know, 21-22. It's a thriller. We've been watching a fantastic game, and it's just scrum reset after scrum reset, which is eating up the time that the other, like, play team could suddenly pull a haymaker victory. That's my pet peeve. It's just a purely entertainment standard sort of complaint, in the simplest way, shape, or form. It's just, yeah. Like, you're sucking all of the excitement of this moment out with scrum reset after scrum reset, or, you know, some sort of other sort of crap. Throw me a fucking bone here.
Yeah,
That thing happened in the Waratahs game as well, where you just got to a point. I think it was like 73rd or 74th minute. Well, it was sort of like 3 or 4 minutes in the final 10 when they were trying to make mount a comeback, where it was just spent like on scrum times. Like, there's ways to clean it up and ways to sort of make it faster, or just turn the clock off.
There's better things. Yeah, turn the fucking clock off. That's, yeah. Or, like, I mean, I think they're doing the scrum clock at the moment, but I think there should be like a man, like you get maximum 2, maybe 3 scrum attempt resets instead of like 7. Just stop. This, we're not the freaking NFL where the final 2 minutes, it like turns into a 30-minute epic with everyone doing timeouts and shit. Like, just play the goddamn game and get going. Make it the entertaining spectacle it should be. Anyway,
yeah, that's a difficult one. Sorry, I was thinking this too. It's kind of like Rolling Malls. Like, they suck. Like, there is barely anything competitive about them. It's basically legalized. What's the word when you get in front of someone else? Shepherding. And I think that scrum resets, like, yeah, I totally agree with you, but how would you do it in a way that doesn't take away from the spirit of the game? I know that one of these laws I was mentioning before that they're discussing changing is if you get a free kick off a scrum, you can't go for another scrum.
Mm.
You have to kick it or tap it. But yeah, I don't know how you go, all right, there's 3 scrum sets. Well, then teams would just start playing for the 3 scrum resets, right?
Just, I don't know, tap and go. Do something. Just do something. Make the game go.
That's rugby league, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is a bit rugby league, but I mean, as Eddie Jones famously once said, we've got so much to learn from rugby league, mate.
He also said he was going to Japan, so.
Yeah, he also said, I'm committed to coach Australia next year.
He also told R. Nathan to give himself an uppercut.
Yeah, he did, actually. Nathan was there. Have you seen the documentary?
Yeah. The look of terror on my face. It was great.
Yeah, no, you definitely weren't shitting yourself. And on that note, let's move to Nathan's news roundup. As always, good sir, I believe you are ready to go. You have a script. Do you have a script this time? Do you always have
a script? I've got a script every time, thank you very much. You think I just do something dying?
Please. Oh, well, I don't know. You might be like a wordsmith that we don't act, that we, you know, we might not just, we just live in your world. We just exist within it. But 90 seconds is the rule, as always. And we are ready to rock and roll. Are you ready, good sir?
Ready to go.
Your time starts now.
All right, let's start with the Hurricanes, who are living in a Saints' paradise as a lock scored late to turn the Crusaders and Owen Franks into 0-4. Sarah Uru showed his mettle as he powered his way through the Rebels' pack as Fraser, all right, drew 4 try assists as the Reds came out on top. Kyron Tama, name redacted, sprinted away to prove the difference to force the West to deal with another defeat. The Brumbies delivered the right tools to deal with the Highlanders as the backs proved deadly, finished off by the Loch Ness Monster at the back of the mall. In Hamilton, D-Mac in the red and black gave Fiji a whack as the Chiefs take a crack at the top 4 pack. Finally, the Blues gave the Waratahs a fright as Zahn James P. Sullivan and the Auckland Monsters Inc. pack secured the win against the Waratahs. In the Six Nations, Ireland forever is standing tall on the top of the ladder as James swung low, sweet chariot, for the win over England. Italy gave Wales a full Monty to give them a wooden spoon as France left saying, Kramos, with a big win over Wales. Oh, as mentioned, Holly Schmidt, my team went to 7-0 against Knicks, taking umbrage in fantasy with a convincing win.
I love it, complete with the fingers up as well. Thanks, man.
Tama Falau, name redacted. Flower.
That was very smart.
It works better when it's written down, but, you know, I had to sort of work. I tried to work with something from that game. It wasn't much of a
game. Very smart. Vibes. Very good vibes. I like it. Nicely done. And, Will, before we will dive into our two main topics of discussion at the moment in a second, but I will say it's very smooth summary of a whole bunch of rugby over the weekend. Chiefs pack, smack, back, black. God.
Joe Cracker, the top four pack.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you for reminding everyone that I still haven't beaten you in fantasy yet. Thanks, man. That makes me feel really good. Okay. It will be so good when I come away with that goddamn first sweet victory. I'm going to get absolutely hammered when it happens.
I'll be sick that day.
Gambridge. Let us dive into the two key topics. We're going to first of all touch on give a grade to where we think all of the Australian Super Rugby franchises are going right now. And then we're going to finish off talking about kind of other general news and activities happening, which is basically it comes down to the Lions ticket sales, some of the news that we've heard about the Rebels. And of course, Nick made allusion to some news about around law changes. And then we're going to quickly preview the weekend ahead and see what games are happening. So first up, lads, I think we're going to basically go team by team on this. And I think it's best to start at the top of the ladder when it comes to the Australian sides. In Super Rugby Pacific. And, of course, that is the Queensland Reds. They are currently sitting 3-1. They have been playing some extremely good rugby, just came off a 26-53 win over the Melbourne Rebels in Melbourne over the weekend. Of course, they've grabbed a whole bunch of other wins. Les Kiss is in flying form. What do we grade them? What do we grade them this so far?
I'm happy to start. I mean, A-. Like, they've been excellent. The only thing stopping them from the A-plus was, that loss against the Hurricanes. But when you take your team into extra point, which is the only team undefeated this year, like, that's a huge win. That's a huge performance that's sort of gotten, I guess, more weight behind it as the Hurricanes keep beating teams and sort of keep showing that they're legit. So, like, what Les Kiss has produced some incredible things with this side to turn them into contenders. I do sort of – I need to see more of it, though. Like, I've been fooled by Reds teams in the past. Like, I just want to see consistency. Can they sort of back it up this week against – I think it's Horse and Brumbies in the next 2 weeks. Like, they're going to be two big games before this bye to see where they actually sort of sit in terms of contendership.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add.
I don't have to say it at all. I was expecting you to make some sort of Queensland comment or Queensland –
No, I mean, it's just really great to see a genuine Super Rugby contender. It's great to see Les Kiss come back and not turn them around, but just kind of enhance them. It's like adding salt to a meal. Like, it's amazing, and it's really good to see, and it's really good for Australian rugby, especially after the shit year we had last year.
Definitely proves to me that that one thing that has often been talked about is the player depth is there, the potential's there. But there's this and this. It definitely highlights how valuable coaching is and how valuable we need to look after those coaches. There's been so much discussion about it. I know Laurie Fisher has talked about it till he's blue in the face about the need to actually look after our coaches, but. I'd say that Les Kiss is obviously – he's taken a lot of experience from being overseas, from being in Ireland, from being in England, and you can see it in just the way that the team plays. Like, the Reds' attacking weapons are phenomenal. They're as an attacking side, they're outstanding, and it's really a case of – I know that they've got a lot of – they have conceded a lot of points, but they're scoring a lot more at the moment. And that's really what is making the difference for them. So, yeah, I'd agree. I'd say A- to A would be what I would give them. And how good. It's going to be a challenge the next couple of weeks because they've got – I know that they've – Isaac Henry has just been ruled out for the remainder of the season, which is a massive loss for the Reds. But just – oh, God. It's just so nice to see that another side, another Australian side standing up and asking plenty of questions in this competition, which is great. Brumbies currently sit in fifth on the ladder, also on 3-1. They've just come off a win in New Zealand against the Highlanders. They beat the Western Force the week before. Interesting one on this. I think it's, you know, they really came down to crashing down to earth in Super Round, getting absolutely thumped by the Chiefs it was a pretty poor performance from them, probably one of the worst we've seen from them in years. Mr. Hartman, I know that any sort of time we mention a Brumby, you spit in disgust at them, but...
That's not true.
Is it not true?
Yes, Brumbies, no.
Oh, good. Okay, sweet. So there is one step up. Like we agree that Canberra is better than Hamilton.
I've been to Canberra. I don't know. I'm sorry. So first of all, grade. I'll give them a C. I don't know. Like they beat the Force, who look like a shambles, which we'll get onto. Rebels, who are a shambles. Whether they actually are on the field, I don't know, but we'll get on to them. Got thumped by the Chiefs and beat the Highlanders. I haven't watched the Highlanders game. Sorry, I was out and about. I guess Nathan can talk a bit more about that. But I've always wondered how good Stephen Larkham is. I wonder if he was just the beneficiary of a great system. I don't think the Brumbies ever looked this bad under Nick McKellar. So his name Dan McKellar? And he's a better coach than Larkham. And they've lost, what's his name,
Laurie Fisher, yeah.
So, I'm giving him a C. Let's see what happens. Look, I usually, you know, the Brumbies squeeze the lemon. They're the best of they make the best out of a system, whereas the Waratahs, for example, are a much more volatile team. But I think this year, as a Waratahs fan, I don't fear the Brumbies. Ooh. And I hypothetically, where would the Brumbies be if it wasn't for the Corey Hotline? like a winger, the only winger I can think of who made a biggest difference like that was Habana. So I don't, anyway, so that's why I give him a C.
Do you agree, Nathan?
I'd probably go one up, probably go sort of a B to a B minus range. Like they've been, like they're still, they haven't been playing their best rugby. Nick's sort of right. Like they've been relied on Corey to do a lot of the work for them and get them out of jail with just some freakish plays. But I think there is also some sort of method in the madness. Like, you know, you don't win premierships in sort of March, but you definitely can lose them in June. If you sort of get there and you're not fit or you're sort of running out of sort of energy at that time. So I think this has sort of been a designed play just to kind of build slowly into a season, still sort of accumulate wins, but be far from their best. Like there's still players to come back to the side. Alan Alto was a big one. You know, I've just lost Lenny Katao for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Andy Muirhead. Like there's still talent to come back. I'm not sort of worried that much about them, but yeah, they haven't really hit their form, but you look at a sort of a week, yes, Moana Pacifica this week, they should win. You then look at the next weeks after that and it's Reds, Waratahs, as Nick says, Waratahs don't fear them. Official statement of the Gagger podcast and the Waratahs themselves. Then you have the Blues away and the Hurricanes at home. Like they're four tough sides. And that's going to be your real test of, all right, where does this Brumbies team sit? Because, you know, you're scraping wins against teams when you don't have to be at your best. You're going to have to be at your best to beat those teams. So I think I've still given sort of a B to B minus because they're still winning games. I think they're still hanging on a fourth or just about, or it's like fifth on points difference. But need to see more if they're going to be actual title contenders like the Reds in the next month.
Yeah, I'm kind of sitting in the middle between you two, probably like C plus B minus kind of range is the what I'm kind of looking at. It's, I mean, maybe it's because I'm just very stubbornly like I demand quality from this side. Maybe it's just the fan in me speaking more than anything else. But yeah, they have really looked off the pace. The wins, the fact that they're still grabbing wins while off the pace is good. I do also like that Larkham has kind of tried to change things up a little bit. I do agree with you, Nick. By the way, I think Larkham, I question how Larkham would go outside of Canberra. I mean, he has done well over, he has like, you know, gone and done some coaching outside of Canberra, but he just knows Canberra. It's kind of like, you know, he's been part of that system for so long. He understands how that system works. So he's naturally going to be able to squeeze more of the juice out of it than, you know, a complete stranger who would turn up. But I think that his decisions, like, for example, putting a lot more veterans on the bench and trusting the young guys to do the job a bit more is a good one. That's a good way to go about things. Means the Brumbies have been finishing a lot better in terms of their games. And I think, yeah, like, I'm hoping that they just build into it. Another name that Nathan mentioned, well, that's also out, is Blake Shoup as well. He's out. He's off for a little while too, which is a significant loss. But there's options and options there. I would probably say C plus, B minus. That's what I'd give the Brumbies right now. But if the fact they're still 3-1, I mean, that highlights that they actually, you know, when they do hit their strides, they'll be good. In sitting just below them in seventh is the Melbourne Rebels, sitting on 2-2. Nathan, God dang it, they are so hot and cold, aren't they? And I'm willing to be a bit harsher on them, even despite the circumstances surrounding them, because they've got such a good squad. I think they should be better than 2-2.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you looked at this sort of the first month, I'd probably have them at 2-2. So I would say C. This is probably where I have them. Like, do I have a better roster than the Brumbies or the Reds? Probably not. Are they better than the Moana? Absolutely. And are they better than the Force? Yes. Like, this is probably where, if I had to predict games for the year, I'd probably have them 2-2. And it's been their starts that just killed them. Like, they've looked good once in like second halves and once they've got themselves into games, but they just can't start to save their lives in 2024. Like, you know, I think they were down 19 against the Force before coming back in that game. In one game they did start well. They, you know, controlled against Moana, and, you know, Brumbies and Reds gave up huge leads and just never looked back. Outside of a brief sort of comeback against the Reds before they just gave the game away. Like, yeah, you're right. This team should be more competitive with the roster they have, but it's probably, yeah. And again, this is still a roster which is just missing a couple of pieces and probably deserves to sit 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good if they made finals, wouldn't it? Like, with the roster they have.
No, well, it's a travesty that they're above the Waratahs. I mean, you know, scheduling and all that gear, but I don't know. Yeah, Nathan's right. It's the same old shit with them.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Yeah, it's just like so much potential and so many big names, and it still feels the same.
Yeah. They are who they are.
It's like the cat. It's like the cat having zoomies. It's like, oh, yeah, you're there. Yeah, stop being annoying. Okay, they've gone back and I've forgotten about them for 10 hours. Kind of like how the Rebels are. But their zoomies are beating the Moana in New Zealand.
They have the zoomies.
The Rebels, you're a good rugby team. Oh, wait, no, okay.
It's actually a good way to describe them now that you mention it. I think it's a zoomie squad.
Yeah.
Kind of like a zoomie team.
Yeah. Okay, can we talk about the Waratahs now?
Yeah, we absolutely can. I was saving this one up for you.
Okay, I'm launching straight into it. Where are they coming, Nick?
They're coming ninth at the moment. They're 1-3.
So the Waratahs I don't know. I can't put my finger on where they are yet. I think they're very, very good defensively. They still seem they're very scattergun. Sometimes they look like they just met each other before they play. I don't know if it's because he is a ringer, and I don't kind of mean this, but like Tane is always red in the face. And I don't know, but he does a lot of great defensive work. So I don't know if he is knackered at the end of games. But yeah, I don't really know where to put my finger on it. They have a ton of injuries. My boy Lucky Swinton came back. My other boy Tolu Latu wasn't flown back to play for the Tars. I had to call up a concreter instead, who scored a try on the weekend. Which is a crazy story. See you later. Go back to concreting, I think, at the end of this week. Nathan, I guess you can fill me in there. But, yeah, like they're just – sometimes the attack is electric. Like that Marky Mark, you know, ran 50 metres, found a hole out of nothing and the rest of the game, he'd just been running straight into their centers. So I just really don't know where to put the Waratahs. How would I grade them? Oh, a B.
Easily, you give them a B?
Yeah, I think I've given them a B. Look, they've played the three hardest teams in the comp, and they lost to two. Oh, no, they're actually, sorry, Highlanders. Sorry, I assume they played for the Hurricanes. But they've played well against the Blues, didn't really offer a whole lot, and they kind of fumbled the ball against the Highlanders. Crusaders win, kind of looking like, well, that's because Crusaders look like crap this year. So, yeah, that's where I'd put them. I think they just need a bit of, I don't know how to say it, cohesion, maybe focus, direction, smarts, and they could be 3-1 very easily. I don't think they've beaten the Reds.
Like Emmanuel Carr, they just need a bit of clutch. I'd probably put them a bit lower. I'd probably sort of say that I reckon they're the CC minus team. Like, again, that winner of the Crusaders is looking kind of, it gets devalued each week as they keep losing. The reason I put it this low is because, like, they've looked good in patches, as you sort of say. They've been in three or four of those games. Even the Reds game, you can argue, I think they were either 1 point down at halftime or the other way. I can't recall off the top of my head, but, like, they were, for that Jones and yellow card, they were in that game. So, like, they've been in all four games they've played this year. The fact that they've just not been able to sort of get those wins, it's rough. And when they've got such a tough draw as well. Like, got to play the Crusaders again, got the Chiefs at home, Hurricanes in New Zealand coming up, and then the Brumbies again. Like, they need all the wins they can, so it's quite a – it's not alarm bells yet, but you need to start turning these close losses into wins. So that's why I've got around that CC minus. Like, you probably would say they'd be 1-3 at the start of this point, but they really – as you said, they really should be 3-1 or at least 2-2.
Well, you know, if they only had the luck to play the Force and the Rebels and Moana in these three games, they'd be looking a lot better.
Of course they would, but I think there's like part of that ranking is just a sort of wasted potential of what they could be. Because they were they had a kick to win against the Highlanders. If they sort of kicked straight, not if they kicked pretty well against the Blues, but if they hadn't sort of given up that turnover late, like they had chances to win both those games. The Highlanders, one, but they're on the attack late. Like that just sort of, that rating comes down to how close it would have been. How close they've come and just not been able to sort of get the job done.
I guess the kind of frustrating thing watching them is with their defense-heavy focus, it kind of looks like a, you know, year one build. You know, the new coach is coming in, just getting the basics right. Yeah, but it's your third or fourth year?
Third. So,
yeah, I think to kind of talk about Larkham and Les Kiss, I think Darren Coleman has probably hit his ceiling as he can at the moment. He's had good time in Super Rugby. I think after this year, it's probably time for him to go overseas and just learn that nouse that they learn over there. They seem to pick up that you can never get in Australia.
Well, I think, I don't know necessarily if it's time for DC to go per se. I think that there's probably something a lot more along the lines of, I know Jason Gilmore's been doing a little bit more in terms of the training sort of side of things and the coaching side of things in terms of being involved with DC. I think it's also important to remember, like, Nathan does have a point of how difficult their run has been. And even more interestingly, I mean, like, they might be 2-1 against Kiwi teams in the last 3 weeks, but they have an aggregate of +9. From those games as a result as well. So, I mean, yeah, they're close. It's again, converting those wins. I would probably put them around, it's kind of similar to the Brumbies, C plus, B minus range. It's just converting those wins into opportunities, because if they had gotten that kick against the Highlanders, if they managed to pull off a penalty and kick the goal to win against the Blues, we'd be having a very different conversation. We'd be talking B plus range, realistically speaking. And it wouldn't be, you know, a question. We'd be kind of talking about it a little bit more and saying, hey, bring more bricklayers in. Maybe just get more of those boys, get more two Blues. Yeah. I think it's – There's such fine margins. It'll be just, again, those next couple of weeks looms is very interesting. I think the jury, it's one of those ones where the jury's a bit still a bit out for me on the Waratahs. But I think a team that's, in terms of performance, that's definitely not out is the Western Force, who currently sit bottom of the ladder, none and four. They've lost games against – they lost a very close match against the Brumbies. They got knocked off the park by the Hurricanes in round one. They went down to the Rebels after leading by a substantial amount in Super Round. And then the match that I think has really thrown, everyone for a loop, which is their loss to Moana Pacifica, 14-22 over the weekend. I mean, I was kind of expect to have lost those first few games, but Moana has really thrown a spanner in the works for me because their discipline was appalling. A lot of the questions, I know that they've got a really bad casualty ward right now. They've got a really bad casualty ward, but I mean, the issues that are present are not necessarily to do with the personnel. It's kind of just. There's so many things like their discipline that are not doing well. Some of the decision making's not very well. It just doesn't feel like, as a side, they're a second year team under Cron right now. They're not playing well. When Simon Cron has to apologize for performances, something is wrong right now. I'd be going down to the D minus E range for the Western Force, considering the depth that the talent that they've actually have been managed to recruit, even despite the fact that they have a bad casualty reward right now. Nathan, what do you think?
I think you're pretty spot on there. Like, this game, you look at their sort of draw. These are the games they have to be winning. Like, there was, and like there's been some solid performances, like some periods of performance. Like they pushed the Brumbies in Canberra. They, had that lead against the Rebels, but those two games at home, geez,
they're bad. That's really poor.
For a team that was 5-1 last year at home, that's probably the two worst performances I've seen them at home in a long time. And all right, let's go through the draw for the next 6 weeks. Reds going to Perth, the best Australian team. Fiji in Fiji. Blues in Auckland. Where else is it? Crusaders, who might be 0-6 at this point, 0-7, desperate for a win. Then the Highlanders in the Zoo. Chiefs in Waikato. Before getting the draw back at home. Like, that's a scary 5-6 weeks for a team which hasn't won a game. Like, something's not right here. This is probably showing the value of having fit front rowers. Yes, losing Isaac Rodda, they probably weren't expecting, but there's enough quality in this team that there's got to be a response this week. It just has to be.
Well, even then, like, they've had to bring in players like front rows. I mean, where the hell has Atu Moli been for the last?
Still injured.
Is he injured as well? I haven't seen him in any of the casualty awards or anything like that. Like the draft rugby guys have been doing. Because, like, no, I mean, I know that there's a lot of props that are very badly injured right now at the Force, and it's like the key position where they're struggling. But I mean, I've been looking in casualty awards. I've been looking at other things. I cannot find him. Where is he? So, where is Atu Moli?
Let me go correct it. I don't believe he's injured, but I think it's a tight head, which is not the problem they have. Like, they've already got Mendrano. They've gone with the young guy, I can't pronounce it, the former Waratah, Tian Takapulu. Pronunciation's not my strongest. Instead of Moli. So it's just, they've got tight heads. They just don't have any loose heads. Relying on Ryan Coxon and Josh Bartlett, guys that I don't even believe are in the squad at the start of the year. Like, Coxon definitely wasn't. He was in the Crusaders squad, our balls. And they've brought Bartlett over from the Chiefs. Like, I think that's hurting him, but yeah, this is a team that just needs hopefully got the serious wake up call and comes out sort of the next month or two and just shocks some people. So they need to.
Yeah, they do. Nick, do you have any thoughts on the Force?
Nathan's covered it. It's just a shame. The Force have never really ever offered a whole lot the whole time they've been in Super Rugby. And I don't mean to be harsh by that. It's just kind of said regretfully. And this year it's just another what's going on? How can you not be any good? Maybe they'll receive, if the Rebels go bust, they'll receive the flow of players back that they suffered when they got cut. To maybe shore up the squad. But yeah, I just don't know what's going on. Maybe it was right not to pick Kron after Checker.
That's a dangerous comment to say. Yeah.
Why is it dangerous?
Oh, I think he's a pretty decent coach, Cronny. It's just whatever the hell's going on there, whether it's a strength and conditioning issue or communications or cohesion. I mean, he's brought in that many players into that squad. That's probably, I think, the issue. I think what they're trying to do in terms of strategy is right. It's just, and I mean, there have been good performances in there. Trying to bring a bit more experience off the bench, pushing, asking questions. Their kicking game has been a lot better. But they're just losing things like the physicality battle up front, and their discipline is terrible. Like, it's not exactly shit that we're not exactly saying. This is basic common shit that they're messing up right here. Like, manage your discipline. Yep. Manage your discipline, or I mean, play fourth grade, and I know not to give away a bloody penalty.
Like 5 and 10 minutes, like they did against the Brumbies.
Yeah, marching sides up the field. If you give one penalty or another, stop giving away penalties. Come on, guys. Don't try and force shit. Just be patient a bit. Be a bit more patient. Lord knows. But what do you grade them, Nick?
D minus. As close as you can get to an F.
F for the force. I was waiting for you to someone to make that joke.
I don't even deserve that.
So it's currently where the teams are sitting right now. We'll finish off by talking about the other big news. First of all, I think the Melbourne Rebels and Rugby Australia are currently in conversation and having chats. I should have never said that,
should I?
Yeah, I know. I feel like the pet peeve is now opened up. No, I'm sorry. It's too big. But Rugby Australia.
Wonderful for a week, and this is what happened.
Rugby Australia and the Rebels are currently in conversation. I think they're trying to hammer out some solutions. I think they started on Tuesday, and I believe those conversations are currently ongoing. And I know that we're also talking about the stuff. There might be legal grounds opening up. Nathan, do you have any sort of update or knowledge that is currently out there, or is it still all behind the scenes? Do we know anything?
I think it's all behind the scenes. I think the interesting sort of stuff that's coming out is, you know, with the sort of case around Felipe Dungunu, I mean, with he's now sort of, I think it's going to be the second week he'll miss a game. Essentially, you know, the situation with him is, you know, with the team going to administration, he was owed, I think, $7,000 was the report amount by your boss, Christy Doran. is he not?
I mean,
boss and idol.
Lost idol, mentor, hero.
Romantic interest.
All right, calm down.
So, I believe, yeah, first report by Christy, I think it was $7,000, I think it was the unpaid fee. I think he went to Rugby Australia looking for it to get paid, but, you know, I think the way it sort of got reported was if you pay one creditor, like, you're now sort of liable to paying all of them. So, I think the deal got made that he wasn't going to get paid out, was going to try and get paid out or sorted in other ways. He decided to stand down for personal reasons, and it's interesting to see we're now at this point where all of a sudden players are taking stance and we're into that real sort of ugly area where, you know, we're sort of going to need a sort of decision sooner rather than later with, yeah, we have Lions tickets on sale for a Rebels game next year, which again, we'll probably, if it isn't the Rebels playing it, it'll probably be an Australia A or maybe a Pacific Islands team, something like that, but yeah, it's just
a Moana Pacifica team.
Oh god! the mighty Melbourne Pacifica.
Melbourne Pacifica. Yeah,
that's the show I want you to believe. Yeah, that's real. Yeah, it's just one of those situations which just sort of seems to keep unraveling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's going to be definitely a watch this space scenario. The other big news, of course, is the Lions tickets going on sale, and I believe at the time of us recording, Sydney and Brisbane have sold out already.
Yeah, I think there's 90% done in at the MCG as well. Which again, for $600 tickets, which I didn't look, I don't set the pricing on $500 and $600 tickets is quite wild, But yes. Like it's a 1 to 12 year experience. Like this is, it's one of those ones, if it sells out or first allocation exhausted, whatever you want to do, then the supply and demand sort of chart has been lined up perfectly. So you can't really, like, you could I reckon you could complain about the price if it wasn't being sold, but now they're sold out, you're kind of going to be like, oh, well, fair play.
Mm. Yeah, it's the fact that they've been able to sell out those two stadiums. I mean, like, that was kind of a no-brainer, but that Melbourne MCG one is insane. That's a lot of tickets sold. Should be incredible to see, and hopefully, you know, we'll start to see all the other places get sold out as well. The other big news, I think, kind of the key points was that there's going to be some law changes. I believe they're kind of trying to adopt some other laws around. I think that the big one was the 20-minute red card is going to become mandatory now, isn't it?
It looks like being sort of a global trial. A lot of these rules, like it's for the Northern Hemisphere more than the Southern Hemisphere. Like we're used to this in Super Rugby, stuff like the 20-minute red card, refs being a bit more particular around the sort of use it rule, and you know, the ideas are sort of speeding up the game in that regard. They've essentially used Super Rugby as that sort of trial area, because the reality is with a sort of threat, Australian situation where it's got league, AFL, soccer, all these threats, it needs to kind of innovate or die, which has been really good in terms of speeding up the game in that regard. But I think it's just sort of taking a lot of those trials that we've seen that have worked here and make it official and put it in sort of a global perspective.
Yeah, should be interesting to watch those particular ones there. There's a lot. Like, I know there's a bunch of stuff that they're trialing and examining. Finish off, let's talk kids round. Super Rugby Pacific round 5 kicks off this weekend. It's kids round to celebrate, kids in rugby. Got the Hurricanes coming up against the Rebels. We've got the Brumbies playing the Wana Pacifica. Drua will take on the Waratahs. The Chiefs playing the Highlanders. The Blues playing the Crusaders. And the Force playing the Reds. Mr. Hartman, what's the game you're most keen to watch, and why is it the Drua versus the Waratahs?
Because I support the Waratahs, and I'll
well, apart from see that,
what they can do in the heat. Let me look up. Sorry,
would you like me to go away? Look this up.
Yeah, let's, Mr. Williamson.
So the game we're looking forward to. I'm gonna start with the New Zealand one, the Blues Crusaders. Like these are two teams you would have thought would have been contending for a title. You've got Blues still up there. Crusaders 0-4, getting really desperate for that win now. The other one also highlight, I'll go with the Force Reds. Again, similar situation. Reds flying at the moment. You know, how long can you sort of keep this level of rugby up? Like, this is going to be a test when you start bringing sort of aspects like the travel and, you know, coming into Force side, which is all of a sudden coming into this off a big rev up from, you know, a coach that's come out and apologized to the media. Like, that's what he said on the sort of record. Imagine what's come up from the sort of spray after the game and into sort of Monday. So I think that they'll be sort of two closer games, which probably the latter won't indicate just how tight the contest will be. So I reckon that your final two games around, they're going to be two to watch.
Interesting. That's an interesting choice.
Sorry, my internet cut out. I did actually have the fixture list up in record time. I was just going to say, we've had some really good tight rounds, tight games recently, but all the kind of games this weekend look fairly easy to call, except for the Waratahs Drua, I believe. So apart from that, maybe it'd just be Blues and Crusaders, just to see if the Crusaders can claw it back. Then maybe they just have in one of their really, really, really slow starts of the season that they haven't had for the last 4 years, but maybe that's what we'll see. And yeah, Force Reds, see if the Reds can throw it away from home. I can't think if they've had a home match except for
the Chiefs and the Waratahs. Those games were at home.
No, like an away game, except for Melbourne.
Yeah, all they've had is two games in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So it's the first trip off the sort of East Coast for them. So it's just another test for them.
Yeah. It looks like a straightforward round.
Yeah, I mean, I will say of the round so far, it is an easier round to predict. I'm very curious about that Hurricanes Rebels game, purely because, I mean, the Hurricanes will definitely be favourites playing out in Palmerston North. It's the at that ground there at Central Energy Trust Arena. Very curious to see what the Rebels serve up. And given the circumstances around them so far, when they are on form, they have played very well, the Rebels have. So it's just, I just hope that they can at least, I don't expect them to win, but I'm hoping for at least a closer contest than some of the floggings they've had at home in front of all of their fans and all the Seagulls in Melbourne, which they frankly those fans and Seagulls deserve better, because some of those performances were not good. And I don't know why it is, but I think, I mean, the Highlanders have really been progressing this year. I still think the Chiefs are going to win that game, but I think it will be a surprisingly closer match. I think that the Highlanders are on a 17-match losing streak to Kiwi sides. Like, they're at that level where they're comparable to, like, the Australians overall. There was, when there was that period in 2016 and 2017 where I think we lost like 18 or 19 on the trot to Kiwi sides. I believe it was the record. And so it might have been more. It may have been more. If anyone's listening, you can correct me on that one. But, yeah, the Highlanders actually haven't won a lot of games against Kiwi sides in a while. So if you're excluding Moana Pacifica as a Kiwi side. So it's that will be an interesting game to watch. But
when I sorry, can I just interject here? When you talked about the Hurricanes and you named their stadium. So I know they're playing at Palmerston North, and it just kind of goes back to my Chiefs kind of thing. It's just like you're playing at a place called Central Energy Trust Arena, which is enough of a killer. You know, it's like playing Shoot Shield or something. And I was thinking, like, what would that be the equivalent in Australia? And I sense like they're playing at like some Tamworth that's got a dog track around it, and this arena they're playing at has a speedway track around it.
It's 15,000. It's got a 15,000 capacity stadium. Like, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I know, but it's got a speedway track around it. It is just, I don't know, it's just very pedestrian.
The Turbos play there, man. You can't diss the Turbos.
Yeah.
You can't diss the Turbos. You can't diss Manawatu Turbos.
And here you are, like, one of the best rugby teams on the planet, playing in front of 15,000 people in a speedway track.
Mate, that's what makes Super Rugby Pacific special.
in a town of less than 100,000, so...
Move them to Western Sydney. Move the Canes to Western
Move
Sydney.
Move them all to Western Sydney.
Move them all to Western Sydney.
It's just,
I was going to say, just one last point in the round. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the game, which is the upset. Like, again, Hurricanes resting both their starting halves in Broguard and Cameron. Rebels sort of absolutely rung through the changes. Like, it has that real sort of feeling of a sort of a spot where the sort of Hurricanes are down and the Rebels are up and just could cause something. So this would be like, don't be surprised if this ends up being the upset game of the round.
Interesting. Yeah. Who knows?
I welcome a better title than that. Pretty wrong.
Well, the upset of the round, something like that. Well, cheers, gentlemen. It's been a good podcast. Nathan and I have also got a Super Rugby W podcast that will also drop a little bit after this episode as well, where we chew the fat on the opening round of Super Rugby W, as well as preview the upcoming round as well. So cheers, everyone, for listening, and to thank you to Mr. Nathan Williamson and to Mr. Nick Hartman, the Senior Vice President, and to all of our listeners, we'll catch you the next time round.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse, you can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself an advocate.
2 months ago. I know you're trying to forget, but between the drinks and the subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight. Hello. That was before your time, wasn't it, Nathan?
No, that's not... Young. Not that young. 2012.